You're listening to Rocket Knight.
This is the Rocket Knight Podcast. Tampa Earl taking you down the road once again. And recently, if you think about it, we just had Women's History Month, where we celebrated the efforts of women in various endeavors around the world. Well, one area where they're finally beginning to get some recognition is in the world of rock and roll. And I found this book that has been a great way to celebrate that. It's called She's a Badass, Women in Rock Shaping Feminism. And we've been able to run down the author, Catherine Yeske Taylor. Catherine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Glad to have you here. Let's just kind of set up your background with our listeners. You got your start like a lot of us did, writing in your high school newspaper. But you didn't want to just do, you know, like, oh, we had a bake sale last week. You wanted to do something special. What was that?
I really wanted to interview rock musicians, like what I was reading in Rolling Stone and magazines like that. I did not want to cover student government meetings. I wanted to do something a lot cooler than that.
And it's definitely a much better than covering the basketball team. That's for sure.
Well, I thought so.
Well, from there, though, you were able to really make this into what has become a career, something that you've spent your entire life doing. You went from there, and we have a branch of it here in Tampa, Creative Loafing Magazine, where you continued on with your interviews. You've been able to really do quite well with this.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's definitely been a passion of mine. So I'm glad that it has worked out the way that it has. I will say that when I first suggested doing this for my high school paper, the faculty advisor really didn't think that I would succeed. But, you know, I was able to interview some musicians in Atlanta, where I'm from, who were up and coming at that time, such as Indigo Girls, Black Crows, bands like that, who thought it was kind of funny that some kid wanted to interview them. And so a lot of times people would say yes. And so I'm really grateful that those people took a chance on someone who was just starting off and probably seemed terrified and gave me a really good foundation for the career that I've now had.
Yeah. Now, what was it exactly about the music industry that caught your attention? What attracted you to wanting to write about it? I know myself, I was a DJ, you know, back when I was in high school. What was it that attracted you?
Well, I originally thought that maybe I could become a musician myself. And so I took, you know, guitar lessons, voice lessons, all that kind of thing. And I loved doing it, but it became really clear, you know, by my mid-teens that, you know, much as I loved it, I didn't have that certain thing that you need in order to be a successful performing musician. And all my life, I'd been told by English teachers that I had a gift for writing. And so it just kind of seemed like a natural shift to write about music, since I couldn't really play the music myself well enough. I could write about the people who could. And I actually think that it should be a rule that all music journalists need to play at least some kind of instrument, even if they can't do it extraordinarily well, just because I think having that kind of background makes you more able to recognize when someone is pulling off something that's kind of difficult, or by the same token, not be really dazzled by, some kind of trickery that seems more complicated than it really is.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. In my own life, I dabbled with instruments. I never was able to capture the nuance of being able to do it. It's actually one of the reasons why I have a very difficult time critiquing, an album or a show or something like that, because I know how difficult it is to actually do what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it is something that can be taught. I mean, so many of the women that I have interviewed, not only for this book, but musicians in general, really, so many of them say that they always just knew they had that certain something. It's kind of it can't really be defined. It's someone has it or they don't.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the book, like I said, is She's a Badass, Women in Rock Shaping Feminism. Now, I know we joked about it with each other. You said this isn't a book about feminism. It's not, yeah, women rule. You were like, no, this is just a book about what it took for these women to get where they are. And
That's
that was
right.
something with every story. That it was that they say, hey, I didn't set out to do this. It just kind of happened that way, and I just drove forward. Especially with Susie Quattro, who was probably a lot of fun to talk to, because that woman's got a history that is unrivaled in music. Her story was a prime example of how. Hey, she wanted to do this. She wanted to do it her way, and she wasn't going to take no for an answer.
That's right. I was really thrilled when Susie agreed to do this book. She's one of the first people who signed on for it. And because she agreed to do it, so many others were willing to do it. Susie is one of those musicians who a lot of American listeners may not recognize, unfortunately. She's very well known in Europe and Australia, although she is an American by birth. And she was the first female rock star who really led her own band, played her own instrument. She plays bass, wrote her own songs, starting in the early 70s. And yes, I know that there were people like Janis Joplin and Grace Slick and people like that who came before, but Susie was really unique because she was really truly the leader, and she became successful on an international scale. The first woman who really did so. And she's just really fascinating from that standpoint because she blazed such a trail that so many other female artists I've interviewed have said really inspired them.
They haven't.
Welcome back. We're sitting here with Catherine Yeske Taylor, who is the author of an outstanding book. It's in the bookstores right now. She's a Badass: Women in Rock Shaping Feminism. And we just played the Go-Go's there. That's one of the, we have a couple of ties. That's one of them is that we have both interviewed Gina Schock. She was on the show here with me previously. What a delightful interview. And she told the story so well of the trials and travails of coming up with the Go-Go's and how the infighting kind of, tore them apart, and then they eventually got back together.
Yeah, Gina's story is really, really fascinating. In her chapter, she talks about growing up in outside of Baltimore and then making her way out to California, where she joined the Go-Go's, and how she really was the driving force behind that band, not just as the drummer, but, as the person who really kind of whipped them into shape and made them much more professional, which in turn enabled them to get the record deal that eventually made them, world famous. And she's just a really fascinating person because she's very outspoken. But she also has a lot of empathy for the people she's encountered. So she's tough, but also very kind. It's an unusual combination.
Very much so. I mean, you could tell just from speaking to her that, she had a passion, she has a goal, and she knows what she wants to do to get there. And she found that vehicle with the Go-Go's.
Yeah, I was really thrilled that she signed on to do this book. And it's interesting because, throughout this book, there's a few cases where the women say someone else who influenced them. And in this case, Toby Vail said that Gina Schock influenced her. And then in turn, Laura Veers said that Toby Vail influenced her. And these aren't things that I prompted. I mean, but I was delighted, when that came up in our conversations, and I could link all the 20 women in this book together sometimes in that way. And it really shows how important it was that there were people like Gina Schock who really were brave enough to really withstand a lot of pushback in such a male-dominated industry when they started. That in turn allowed other women to follow in her footsteps.
Yeah. One of the things that I did like about it is you didn't just dwell with classic rockers here, although you do get Ann Wilson in there, which is a really special interview to get. But you go across the years, you go across the spectrum. Exene Cervenka, Tanya Donnelly, Danita Sparks from L7. I mean, you do, make this, a very broad reaching, I mean, no pun intended, but a very broad reach of rock and roll. You're not dwelling just with the classics. You're coming up to nowadays with the women that are out there today.
Yeah, I really wanted to go across about the last 50 years to show how things have changed for women in this business or not. I mean, there's a couple of things that remain problematic. But yes, the women in the book, and I ordered the chapters from oldest to youngest so that you could really kind of easily trace things that way. So I go from people like Susie Quattro and Ann Wilson and Gina Schock all the way down through younger artists such as Bonnie Bloomgarden of Death Valley Girls, Orianthe, Sade Sanchez of LA Witch, just because I thought it was really important to show how things have changed. And also, yes, I wanted to show that there's really a broad spectrum within the rock genre. I mean, there's really kind of mainstream people such as Ann Wilson. And then I go through, people like Lydia Lunch, who definitely are not mainstream in any way. So
no, I
because
like
I wanted
that,
to show.
I did like that, You didn't keep it, everybody knows who I am. You actually did go under the weeds a little bit.
I thought it was really important to show that it was women in all different sections of the rock world that kind of endured the same types of things, no matter whether they were playing, music that won Grammy Awards like Paula Cole, or people who have zero interest in courting the mainstream, such as Amanda Palmer.
Now, one of the things that I think is kind of important, what did you see as the one characteristic that ran through every woman that you interviewed?
Kind of this pugnacious persistence, I would call it.
A fighter.
Some of these women, to varying degrees, some women, of course, had it easier than others. Some women really encountered some horrific things, including outright assault. But all of them, regardless of what they encountered, didn't let it stop them. And I think that's really the key factor here, because some of these women, it would have been really easy for them to just say, well, that's it, I quit, I can't deal with this. I just can't do this anymore. But all of them resolved to carry on no matter what. And I think that's really important, to a lesser degree. I tried to show in my own story in the introduction, though, that this is something that I think all women, not just women in the music business, have to deal with. I talk about my own journalistic career where, when I started off, I would often be the only female staffer, and I got some really horrible treatment from the older male writers on the staff. And it would have been really easy for me to just say, well, I'm sick of getting these ugly comments. I'm tired of having this happen to me. I'm just not going to do this anymore. And so I kind of recognized in these women, as I was talking to them, that they kind of had that same attitude of, I'm not going to let them win. I'm going to keep doing this because I love doing this, and just basically have that persistence. And I think that's something that all women can probably relate to.
Well, in a perfect world, that's where we would stop. But let's go. I got one final question for you before we finish up here. You got 20 great interviews in the book. Was there any that you couldn't get or that you got and you weren't real pleased with how they came out?
I tried very hard to get Tracy Chapman. She's quite reclusive, and at this point, it was before, she kind of had this resurgence in her career. With Fast Car being covered by Luke Combs recently. And she just wasn't interested in coming out of retirement, I guess you could say, at that point. But I really tried very hard because I thought her story would have been a really good one. I do have some women of color in this book, but I think that her story would have been really great, and I'm sorry that she couldn't do it. But for the most part, I'm happy with the people that I got. Of course, the immediate response I got from people is, why didn't you put in so and so? Everybody has their own favorite that they
Oh,
say,
yeah.
well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, I can't include everybody, first of all. And there's some people I deliberately didn't ask, such as Chrissie Hynde and Debbie Harry O'Blondy. And I know that those are really obvious choices for something like this, but they already have their own books. And so I thought it was really important for me to give other women a chance who haven't had the opportunity to tell their story in depth like this to be able to have their say.
Yeah, it's definitely the thing that, folks like Debbie Harry and Chrissy, their stories are known. It's
And
not
Joan
anything.
Jett, people like that. Yeah, I mean, I just thought they had their chance. Let's talk to other people. For example, in this book, I have Toby Vail of Bikini Kill, and people would say, well, why didn't you get Kathleen Hanna, the lead singer? Well, Kathleen at that point, I already knew, had her own book coming out, which came out about the same time as this one, a couple months ago. But also, Toby Vail's story is really important. People don't realize that she was in a band with Kurt Cobain before Nirvana. And she talks about how, they had equal say in that band. And she believes that her work really influenced him so that when he went on and played in Nirvana, she could recognize her influence on him, not just as some girlfriend or some muse type of figure, but as an equal.
As an
And I
equal,
think her story is really important to tell for that reason. So that's kind of how I chose the woman that I did for this book.
The book is called She's a Badass, Women in Rock Shaping Feminism. It is at Amazon if you prefer to get it that way. You can go by your bookstore. I'm sure they'll order it for you. We've been talking with Catherine Yeske Taylor, the author of the book. Catherine, we thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.